Welcome to Dose of Courage. This podcast is for boss women of faith who are ready to level up in faith, business, and life. I'm your girl, Courage Molina, confidence coach and your favorite Bible teacher, here teaching you how to live a bolder, more confident, and courageous life so that you can leave a legacy of impact. Courage Crusaders, let's go. This podcast episode is sponsored by the Courage Molina YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe. It's a dope channel. Obviously, it's Courage Molina. Hi, guys. But it's full of like motivation, inspiration. I do a little preaching over there sometimes. You can always find the podcast there. And I also do my free trainings. They're always going to be hosted on YouTube. So don't miss out on all the good things. Head over there right now to the Courage Molina YouTube channel and go ahead and subscribe. Can't wait to see you pop up over there, okay? All right, so this episode today, I want to talk to you about, I'm going to share with you 10 things that I hope the pandemic has, like, how I hope the pandemic has changed you, if that makes sense. There are 10 ways or 10 things I hope that you've experienced during this pandemic, and I'm going to share those things with you. Now, listen, I want to avoid all things painful, okay? I don't want to go through no storm. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to have no battles. I don't want to overcome stuff. I just don't want to go through stuff. That is just, that's how I want to live, okay? I'm not leaning into scary things just for the sake of having scary things. Like, I don't want that. But what I do know is that there are some storms in life. There are some pains and losses that are unavoidable on your journey. There are some things that are unavoidable. And if I have to go through a storm, if I have to experience pain, if I have to get through this pandemic, I want to be better because of it. And I want you to be better because of it too, because there's no avoiding it. It's here now, right? So how can we go through this? How can we allow ourselves to live through this in a way that we will be better because of it? We will be better on the other side. Not that we would have chosen it. Not that we love everything that's happening. There are so many people that have lost jobs, that have lost loved ones. Don't nobody want that. But if we have to live through it, and my hope is that I live through it. My hope is that you live through it. When I get through on the other side, I want to be better because of it. And so these are some of the ways that I've been changed. And I pray that you've been changed this way too. And if not, hopefully after listening to this episode, you will be. The first thing this pandemic did for me was it really exposed my fears. And so I hope that it has exposed the things that scare you. I think that when we're busy and we're just kind of running through life, it is so easy for us to pretend like we're not afraid of things because we don't have to deal with them. But this situation with the news always being on. So I'm an overcomer or survivor of depression and anxiety. If you guys have heard my story, then you know that. And so one of the boundaries that I have on this side of having like being stable mentally and emotionally is I'm very careful about the messages that I consume. So I don't watch the news. And so when I say I don't watch the news, what I mean is I don't watch the news ever. I don't know about storms. I don't know about hurricanes that are coming. I don't know about stuff. Now, I am a coach who promotes my business and things via social media. So if something is trending, because I'm on social media, I will be made aware of it. And so then I can kind of look into it and maybe read a couple articles, but I'm still very selective about what I will read. But it's because I want to protect myself. I don't want to allow myself to be exposed to messages that are going to cause me anxiety or whatever. I don't care how people feel about it. I'm not interested. I decide what messages I consume. But when the pandemic hit, everybody was watching the news. Not me, but everybody. People who don't normally watch the news were watching the news. My close friends, people I hang out with, that we would never have conversations about horrible things that are happening in the world. people wanted to send me messages and send me articles and send me videos. I'm like, what is happening? When the city of Charlotte, or I should say the state of North Carolina, first shut down, I was down in Florida dropping my husband off for work, and I stayed with my sister, and I've stayed with my sister 100 times. But this time, her TV was on the news 24 hours a day for like the 2 or 3 days. And they have this huge TV in the living room. So every time you pass through, you see these death tolls. Oh my goodness. So when I came home, I was like so scared. One of the areas for my anxiety is around illness, and it stems from when my cousin was sick. So my cousin back in 2011 was diagnosed with cancer, and he was 33 at the time, and then he passed in 2012. So by the time he was 34. And I knew people got sick. My mother's a cancer survivor. I get it. My great grandmother passed of cancer. So I know that people get sick. But he was the first person in my generation. He was only 2 years older than me. And it changed my perspective. It really changed my perspective in the sense that, oh my goodness, I can get sick and die at any time. You could get sick. And I started to wonder how long was he sick and he didn't know it. It just really messed me up. And so my anxiety kind of stemmed from that. So anytime it was flu season, I would be so afraid of getting sick, and not like the normal healthy, nobody wants to be vomiting and have diarrhea. Like nobody wants to be sick. But to the point where I was going to have an anxiety attack at the thought of maybe being sick, any type of sickness outside of like a cold or like strep throat or tonsils, anything that could lead to you spending a lot of time in the bathroom, that's going to push me over the edge. Anything that could be like something where you could have it and not know you've had it, and then one day you find out and now you're dying. That messed me up so bad. And so I thought I was doing well. And that partially was because of my boundaries, not listening to the news, really paying attention, guarding my mind and my heart from the messages that I got. So no, I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not watching that. No, I don't want to hear about it, right? Like that's how I lived. And so I thought I had it under control, but it exposed that fear was still alive and well. So we're talking in March. In March of 2020, I was overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. And my kids could see it, the way I behaved, the way I spoke. They were like, we know it's a big deal, but you are scaring us. And I never wanted to be I never want to be the type of person that my conversation is adding to your fear and not building your faith. And so that was a real wake-up call, because my 3 children stood in my kitchen and were like, okay, but you tripping. Like, we get it. We know it. But you are just like talking about it so much. And I was like a crazy person. It was past, taking the proper precautions. It was past that. It was unadulterated fear that had taken a hold of me and I couldn't shake it. It took over my mind. I didn't sleep well and my husband was in Florida. And so I was scared all the time. It was horrible, but it exposed that fear. I never would have known about it. I wouldn't have realized that was still something that was underlying. It's like thinking you change and then you're in the right situation and you realize, oh, well, I thought I changed. I guess not. I just wasn't in the right situation for it to bring it out of me. And so it exposed my fears, which is great. Do you know why? Because when I know there's a problem, when I can see that there is something in me that I don't want to be in me, that's something I can take to God. That's something I can deal with in prayer. I can be honest and vulnerable with God. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy process, because I felt this guilt and shame, because I'm the courage crusader and here I am shaking in my boots about this pandemic. So now I'm like, how could you have called me, God, to do this work And now I'm afraid. I didn't even want to speak out and say that I was afraid, not to my friends and family and not to the Lord. I'm like, he's going to be so disappointed in me that I don't have the faith. I have faith in so many areas of my life, but I still am struggling with faith in this area. So it exposed that fear. And that was a beautiful thing. It wasn't a beautiful experience. It wasn't a beautiful experience. Okay. But it was a beautiful thing in the sense that I actually want to be more like Christ. I actually want to have this life of abundance and peace that surpasses all understanding. I want to lean on God, not just say that I do, but actually feel that way, even when there's a storm. And then I had these moments of peace. I started to have these moments of peace. And then I felt guilty about that. I'm like, can I really have this peace and be so calm and be so grateful while other people are going through such a difficult time? I mean, it was just crazy. But it was great that that exposure led me to a place where it took me to a different level in my relationship with Christ. And as a result, I do now walk in a peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm still cautious by nature. So no, I'm not going out to places where there's 100 random people, but if there are 100 of my cousins or something, then I'm probably going to take the risk because they're my cousins. I don't know. I know it makes no sense, but that's just where I am. And so that exposing of the fear is good. And so if this pandemic is exposing your fear of death, of illness, of being without money, of whatever, if it's exposing your fear to something, celebrate that in the sense that we cannot conquer what we don't confront, and we can't confront what we don't see, right? I can't confront or fix a problem I'm not even aware of, you know? And so I hope that it's exposing fears that you didn't even realize were a thing for you, so you can get that taken care of. I also hope that it's magnifying the problems that you have at home. Same sentiment, right? That I can't fix what I don't know. And so when your kids are at school all day and you're at work all day and your husband is out all day, for those of you that are married, there are some problems that you probably are aware of, but you have been able to ignore, right? Like, you've probably been able to ignore them to some degree because you're not spending a ton of time at home. But if there's a problem, especially when we had that shutdown and now you can't go like you was going before, it magnified the problems in my home. It magnified the problems in my marriage. I'm gonna sit there right there. Let y'all think about that for a second. Yes, I'm telling you, it magnified the problems in my marriage. It magnified the problems in my home. My mother was living here. My kids were living here. They still are, my two youngest. Ages 20 and 18. And that magnified the things that we could ignore. It magnified it. And what's funny is that I've been working from home since like 2017. And my son is 20, which means he graduated. And so while he works, he's actually not that social. I mean, I guess he's relatively social, but he's not a kid that's always going out. He's not that kind of dude. He likes to chill. That's his favorite thing. That's a vibe. I'm chilling. He likes to chill. So he didn't go out that much. And Kyra was already homeschooled, right? So you would think, oh, it'd be fine. No, there is something about knowing you can't go somewhere to make you hate staying in the house, okay? The minute you realize, oh, you already don't go nowhere that often. But when you realize you can't even go anywhere, there's no hanging out, there's no eating out, there's no, oh, people are coming. So not only could they not go anywhere, even the few friends that they had, I didn't allow to come to the house. Now I'm not hanging out with my friends. I'm not getting my release, my girl time with my homegirls, my sister, right? These people can't go nowhere. I can't even go to church, baby. Magnify the problems in our home. And that was great because once they were magnified, I didn't run from them or pretend like they didn't exist. We addressed them. My son felt like I don't listen to them. And he, you know, he's partially right. My brand of parenting is, this isn't a conversation. I'm telling you to do what I want you to do. And I want you to respond by doing it. pretty much it, right? Because I feel like I'm relatively laid back. So if I'm telling you to do something, it's something I feel like you should have known about already. You should have already known that wasn't okay, right? And so I'm not a perfect parent. And now, you know, he's 20. He feels like I don't listen to him. I'm always trying to tell him what to do, all this stuff. I was like a little side eye at first, but once we were in the house together all the time, magnified that problem. And so we were able to address it. And now it's something that we can work through, you know, magnified some of the problems that my husband and I have, which is, you know, communication. Oh my God, like we are the worst at communicating when it comes to like conflict resolution. We can talk to each other, like have conversations, but if there is a problem or a point where we do not agree, it's going to be a real problem. It's going to be like, it ain't going to go well. And so that was magnified, even with him being down in Florida. It also, you know, magnified some of my own internal issues because now it's so quiet. Now I'm not as busy. Now I'm not planning to be anywhere. Like just so many things were cut off. And I'm an extrovert, or at least I was. I feel like I still technically am, but certainly not the way I was when I came into the pandemic. And that moves me to my third point, which is, you know, I hope that it reveals what's most important to you. So listen, I'm a business owner. So what's important to me is earning a living so that I can create a lifestyle for my family, right? That is really important to me. And one of the ways that I wanted to do that or that I was doing that was through like networking events. And I hosted events. I had Cupcakes and Conversations. I had the Faith Ignited conference. I was going to other people's events. I was going to the Great Girlfriends conference every year. I was going to, you know, retreats and things like that. As a coach, that is my busy time of the year during the summer. As a speaker, that's also a great time of year for me. I was able to speak at conferences and I enjoy that being out and out on the road and just, you know, busy out in the streets. I loved it. But once I was home and we kind of had gotten to a place where we had adjusted to the new normal, listen, I realized what's important to me. And what's important to me more than anything else is my marriage. And I don't care if you think that I'm a horrible person because it wasn't at the top of my list before the pandemic. I grew up dirt poor and I was raised by single women. So I valued my marriage, but I used to feel like if I have to choose between this and my marriage, well, I don't know if I'm gonna choose my marriage because I'm trying to make this money, because I'm trying to make this money, not necessarily chase it, but make it because I want to have a different lifestyle. Like I said, I grew up poor. I know people are like, oh, money's not the answer to everything. Okay, well, send me your money then. I'm gonna put where you can send it to. I'm gonna put my Cash App in the description, okay? Real talk. I'm gonna put my Cash App in the show notes for those of you who would like to tell me that money is not that important and it's the root of all evil. You can send me yours because I know what it's like to barely get by. I lived that life for a very long time. And I know what it's like to be comfortable. But I know that when my business becomes a multi-million dollar business, it's going to give me options that I didn't have before. It's going to allow me to give and to experience life with my husband and my kids and my cousins in a way I hadn't, and my homegirls in a way I never have. So that was what was most important, like making sure I did that. Now, since the pandemic, I'm like, you know what? I'm still going to be a multi-million dollar business owner and all that, but I just want to be in a space where I have great relationships with my kids and with my husband. I don't need to live in the city. We live in, first of all, we don't live in the city. Okay, he act like we live in the city, this man I married. He act like we in uptown. We not in uptown. We stay in like a town just outside of Charlotte, like 2 minutes outside of Charlotte, right? And he's always talking about buying a house out in the country, which I'm not interested in, or I wasn't, But the more time I spent at home, not able to hang out, not able to get out, right? I wasn't going to the store. I'm doing Instacart. I'm having things delivered. I'm not going out to eat. I'm just getting things delivered. And I want to do that less, right? I want to spend more time just with my few select people, right? That's how I wanted to spend my time. It revealed what was most important to me, my relationships. More important than, and I know it's like, well, my relationships have always been more important. You can say that, but how do you spend your time? Because I could have come on here, and I even said it before the pandemic. Let me be clear. Before the pandemic, I never would have said making money is more important than my family. I never would have said that because I didn't believe it. But I spent more time working. Working was more of a priority than bonding. Okay? Hear that. I wouldn't have said before the pandemic that my marriage or my family or my relationship with my kids were second to building my business, but I was saying that with how I spent my time. If you looked at my calendar pre-pandemic, you would see that 80 to 90% of my days were spent working in some form or fashion. So you might have always said, like me, that your family came first. But did your actions show that? If I looked at your calendar, January to February 2020, or if I looked at your 2019 calendar, is your family on that calendar? These people you love more than your job. Is that on your calendar? Oh, they not. I know, because that's how we are. And so, you know, it revealed what was most important to me. Not that I didn't care about my business. I still am building a multi-million dollar business, but I take time off. I never took time off. I worked 6-7 days a week. I don't work on Saturday or Sunday. I let my family know what time I'm off for the day. They couldn't get to me before. They didn't know what time I was off. I would go into the office first thing in the morning, and I wouldn't come out until it was dark unless I was coming out to get something to eat or go to the bathroom. That was it. Because I worked all the time. But now, because of the pandemic, and I realized that my relationships are definitely more important to me, I get off work, and when I'm off, I'm off. That includes my social media. I don't owe anybody a response in any way, shape, or form when I'm off, because I'm off. So if I'm off on the weekend, I'm off. I don't owe nobody nothing. I'm hanging out with my family, doing nothing. And even when I'm not hanging out with them, if they're down, you know, visiting or they work or whatever, I'm still just watching TV or reading. Or sitting outside with the dog, which I wouldn't have done. I would have been like, oh, let me get back to blah, 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 blah. No, this pandemic has, you know, revealed what's most important: taking care of myself, enjoying my life, spending time with my husband and my kids. That's most important to me. It also helped me to adjust and change my perspective. And so I hope it helps you to change your perspective on the world. Not in a negative way, right? Not like, oh my gosh, the world is so horrible. But just sometimes we kind of have this attitude like we are in control. And the pandemic has showed us that we're not in control. So it's changed my perspective over what I can control in my life and helped me to see, oh, I can't really control anything. It's changed my perspective on, you know, relationships and how I want to live my life. It's changed my perspective on so many things. I'm like, well, there are things you thought you couldn't do without. Guess what? You are doing without them, aren't you? And so it changed my perspective. And so I hope that this pandemic is causing you to adjust and change your perspective. And I hope this pandemic is also helping you to grow your faith. Because realizing that you don't have any control outside of and not having any faith, that will lead you to hopelessness, my friend. Doom and gloom. It will lead you to a place where it's like, what's the point of living? What's the point of life? So I hope that this pandemic, with all your fears and all the problems and changing your perspective and realizing you don't have any control over anything, I pray that it has caused you to spend more time not just in your prayer closet asking for protection or being upset about things that have happened, but I hope that it's caused you to be in the book, in your actual Bible, to grow your faith. It's hard. It's easy to say, listen, it's easy to say I trust God when things are great. It's easy to say I have faith in God as a provider when I am getting a salary. It's easy to say that I have faith in God as a healer when I'm well. Get sick, lose your job, leave that job to be an entrepreneur, let the world shut down. Watch as million and billion dollar businesses are struggling to keep their head above water as you have just recently made the decision to go back to school or to start a business or to try a new career, and see what kind of faith and trust you have then, right? So the pandemic forced us to put our money where our mouth is as far as like being people of faith. Oh, you trust God? What about now? And so I hope that if you felt like, I don't really know about this, trust the Lord. You know, I hope that if you were overwhelmed with things, that it led to you growing your faith. I have spent more time in prayer as a result. I have more conversation with God as a result. I am even more inclined to spend more time in my word because of the pandemic, right? I'm like, if I don't spend time in his word, I'm gonna let what people saying shake me, and I ain't gonna be shook by what the world is going through. I don't want to be shook, and so that means I have to grow my faith. So I pray that you are growing your faith. I pray that it's lighting a fire under you, that you realize you don't have time to waste. This ain't the time to be putting things off and procrastinating and waiting like, oh, you've been waiting to go back to school. I hope this has lit a fire under you and now you in school. You've been wanting to start a business. I hope that this is getting you to a place where you are finally starting to put some teeth behind that idea. Oh, you wanted to write. Well, I hope you're writing a book now. Why? Because the world is unpredictable. The future is unpredictable. And if you didn't know that before, we are painfully aware of it now. That things that we assumed would last and would not fold and would not be a problem, they wouldn't struggle, that wouldn't happen. The things we thought we would be doing in 2020, not only are we not doing, but some of those businesses are no longer a thing. So I pray that the pandemic has lit a fire under you. I feel like, dang, I don't know what the next thing is going to be. Let me hurry up and get out here and impact these folks. Let me hurry up and get out here and expand my impact and my territory and my income, because I don't know what is next. And 2020 has just had a lot of shock. I mean, 2020 ain't had no chill, right? So I hope that lit a fire under you. The things that you've been putting off and waiting, I hope that it's changed you. That's number 6, lighting a fire under you. Number 7, I hope that it renews your imagination. Let me tell you why. Because you never could have imagined this. You never could have imagined a world where kids are being homeschooled by parents who are working full time. You never could have imagined that the most popular restaurants are only serving 20%, 50% of the people because we got to keep 6 feet apart. You never would have imagined a world where people wearing a mask or not wearing a mask is cause for argument, fights, and people to be recording you and putting you on social media. You never would have imagined that. You wouldn't have imagined the need for so many online options. So if you are already in the online world as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a ministry leader, if you are already leaning into that world, then you're fine with it, right? But for the people who were looking at you like you were crazy and pretended like your business wasn't a real business because you was online, they're finding that their business, their brick and mortar businesses are now what? Online. I just saw that New York and Company, they have all their stores are closed. You can only shop where? Online. When you were previously turning your nose up at the idea that people wouldn't even bother going to the grocery store, they so lazy, which is what people said to me, you can't even go to the grocery stores right down the street. No, I can, but I ain't. I can go to the grocery store, but I'm not going to the grocery store. I'm gonna go to Instacart, and I'm gonna leave my link down there too. I'm leaving my Cash App. For those of you who feel like money is the root of all evil, you can send me your coins. And I'm also gonna leave that Instacart referral link so I can get some bonuses for y'all, okay? As I'm shouting them out. Like, I never would have imagined that. And so now you can see a world where maybe some of the things that weren't needed before are now needed. There are problems that we didn't have before the pandemic that need solutions. And those are the best businesses, right? The best businesses are the ones that can see a problem, that have imagination, innovation, and follow through, and can bring a solution to the marketplace. Oh, look at all these problems. I have a solution. I can imagine a world where I'm the solution to that problem. So now I'm going to do it. So I pray it's renewing your imagination, because sometimes we can't figure out a solution because we only want to look at what we've known or what we've had. But the pandemic is showing us that we're going to need something now and in the next few years that we never needed before. We need things now that we never needed before because we weren't in this situation. And so if your imagination is being renewed, then you are thinking of all the possibilities. And now you can come to the marketplace and you can serve people your solution. So I pray it's renewing your imagination. I hope number 8, it's killing your procrastination and complacency. I was listening to this podcast where they were talking about the NBA. And I've kind of been talking about the NBA a lot, mostly because I watched a documentary and I listened to a podcast and they're always talking about the NBA, but I really don't know a lot. So what I'm about to share with you, I really don't know what it means. I'm just telling you, right? So in the NBA, there's a bubble. I have no idea what that means. But what I understand is that this is something they've always done. And so if you were a team in the NBA, then you were invited to the bubble. Everybody went to the bubble is what I think. All the teams, good teams, bad teams. But as a result of the pandemic, only the top teams this year were invited to the bubble. So if you were average, if you were below average, but you're still an NBA team, then you, before the pandemic, well, now you're not invited to the bubble. And from my understanding, that's very sad. It's very sad not to be invited to the bubble. I don't know what happens in the bubble. I don't even know if it's an actual bubble. I have no idea what happens. But I know that it's something where everybody in the NBA is invited. And now because of the pandemic, if you're not that good, you wasn't invited to the bubble. So do you know what that means? Like, people who are procrastinating on becoming better, people who are complacent, like, oh, they were okay with being average. As companies have had to shut down, they are getting rid of people that they can live without, essentially, right? And the people who have worked hard, maybe not in every company, so please, I don't need you saying, well, in my company, they just shut everybody down. But in companies where they had an opportunity to kind of make a decision, like with the NBA, who was going to be invited and who wasn't, those teams that were complacent and weren't trying to be the number one team or what weren't putting in the work or the players that weren't putting in the work or whatever, guess what? Now they're missing out. And so I hope that this pandemic has caused you to, like, kill your procrastination because you realize what I can do today, I may not even be able to do tomorrow. Do you realize that we went to sleep? So me here in Charlotte, North Carolina, I went to sleep one night, right? On the day, there was one day where I got up and I went wherever I wanted to go. I went and did whatever I wanted to do, no matter how frivolous. I went to the bakery, which is not frivolous. That's serious business, okay? But I could do whatever I wanted to do, hanging out just for the sake of hanging out. I went to sleep, and then the next day, that same behavior could have exposed me to having a ticket in the United States of America, just being outside my house. I was a whole grown woman grounded. We are adults. We was grounded, y'all. We couldn't go nowhere. The government was like, sit down somewhere. If that doesn't kill your complacency, whatever you planned on doing a week from that day, right? So the day before the pandemic hit the news, for wherever you're listening to this, because I know I have people listening from all over the world, not just the United States. So from the time, let's say 2 days before the pandemic hit the news, or coronavirus or COVID-19 or whatever, before it hit the news in your area, you had things you planned on doing 10 days from then, 30 days, 60 days out. And then you woke up and realized you couldn't do them. They were done. Retreats canceled, conferences canceled, flights, trips, hotels shut down, numbers rising, restaurants closed. You can't go nowhere. Now you know you don't have a job. Maybe you plan on going to work. You plan on taking your bonus check and going shopping and go, like, you went to sleep with something you could do, and then the next day you couldn't do it. I hope that killed your procrastination and your complacency. Let me not put off what I could do today for next week, because who knows what the world is going to be next week. Let me go ahead and do this today. Who knows what my life is going to be 2 days from now? Let me go ahead and do it today. I hope it gave you a sense of urgency. Number 9, I hope it made you future-minded, but present, right? So I hope you're hopeful. If you are, you know, spending time in the Bible, I hope you're hopeful that you will survive this, that we will get through this, right? And if so, I want you to be future-minded. I don't want you to be like, oh, you only live once, so I'm not going to behave like I might survive. Well, if you hope you survive, please behave like you're going to survive, so that when you do survive, you're not like, man, I should have been doing whatever, because now I live through it, you know? So I hope you're future-minded, but I hope it also makes you present. There has never been a time in my life where I ain't take my phone with me. Like, I always got my phone. I'm taking my phone to the bathroom. I'm not really sure, because I may not answer it in the bathroom. But I'm taking it in the bathroom, taking my phone in the bathroom. I am, you know, I'm just doing all this stuff, right? Taking my phone everywhere I go. Just whatever, right? Just not being present. Now, I will leave, if it's me and my husband, or me and my kids, or I'm trying to hang out, I will leave my phone upstairs all day. Hours and hours and hours the phone is upstairs. Why? Because I'm watching a movie. Now when my phone rings, it's so weird too, because when my phone rings and you can see who it is, right? Like it's got caller ID, but you know, they're programmed into my phone or whatever. If I'm spending time with the kids or my husband and I look, it's just natural to look to see who it is. And I just keep watching TV or keep talking. They'll be like, you're not going to answer it for Olivia? I'm like, no, I'm hanging out with y'all. I'm not beefing with her. But I'm just not talking to her right now. I'm talking to y'all. And I'm not saying that I never answer her calls if I'm hanging out with them or something. But if I am just like, you know, it's my time with them. It's my family time with them. We didn't have family days before. Sunday is family day. And if my oldest, who is 23, Micah, you better be listening to this podcast. That's number one. If my oldest doesn't come over here, oh, I'm on the FaceTime. What are you doing? So you don't love us. So you hate us. Even though I carried you for 9 months. I'm so extra like that. And Mike is always like, Mom, seriously? I'm like, I'm just saying. I understand you don't care about me. Cool. It's fine. I'm extra like that. Because the expectation is that on Sunday, unless you let me know, we're going to be together doing family fun things. We are going to be together hanging out, whipping them in Monopoly, something. Putting something on the grill. I'm cooking something. Maybe they're cooking something. Maybe they're going to order. So I don't know what it's going to be, but we going to be doing it together, right? Or Saturday, spending Saturday morning sleeping in, which, do y'all know me? Do you know that for me, sleeping in is like till 7? But I like to stay. I know that my husband likes for me to stay in bed longer because he sleeps later. And so now I have my Kindle up here and I just prop myself up and I just stay in bed longer, right? Because I want to be present in this moment. And last but certainly not least is I hope that this pandemic, I know I'm moving this camera so much. I hope that this pandemic has changed you in a way that you're committed to leaving a legacy of impact. Now, I can honestly say that I was in my purpose, right? I want to truly, truly, my desire is to help you become bolder, more confident, and courageous. That's my true desire because I remember what that was like, right? I remember what kind of life I lived. And I know that the life that I live and I'm building now requires me to have a bold, confident, and courageous lifestyle, right? So that was always true. But since the pandemic, I'm now more committed to leaving an impact, right? I believe we're going to get through this. I believe that I'm personally going to get through this. I believe that we, the world, it's not going to end right now. I believe that we're going to get through it. And when we get through it, I want to have been spending this time being committed to building a legacy of impact. And I'm not saying like, oh, if this is the pandemic, this is what you should be doing. You should be building a business. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I hope that it's made you think about the legacy that you want to leave behind because you realize that we are not going to be here forever and that life is short. And so whether it's a legacy of impact in your family, right, to break some of those generational curses and give your time to your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews, I've seen so many pictures, which I've loved, on social media where moms, right, or grandmas really, have come to their kids' homes to help homeschool the kid because they're retired and their children have to work. So maybe it's the daughter and the husband, they've got to work. And now grandma's moved in a few days a week to help with, like, maybe that's the legacy of impact you want to have. When the world was crazy, my grandma was my teacher. When the world was crazy, my auntie, my cousin, my home, like whatever, was my teacher. They were the ones who took care of me. So maybe you want to leave a legacy of impact that impacts your family. Right, I'm not even talking about the world, but I pray that you are committed to leaving a legacy of impact. I know that I am. I know that's how the pandemic has changed me. And so in this, in all of my sharing, right, because I share it from the top, I pray that the pandemic has changed you for the better, that it's revealed some things to you that were buried and were hidden before the pandemic, and now that you can see them, now that you realize them, you've taken that time to grow in your faith and to conquer some of those fears and to get the support that you need, whether that's therapy or a nutritionist or a counselor, like whatever. I pray that this pandemic has exposed some of the things that was hidden, that you've allowed that to grow your faith, and that you've grown your faith to a place where you are going to confront and conquer those problems. I pray that it has you really appreciating the things that are most important to you, that it caused you to adjust your mindset and how you spend your time and your calendar, that the way you spend your days now truly reflects what's most important to you, whether it's time in the Word or time with your friends or time with your family. And I pray that you have a sense of urgency to do the thing that you've been called to do, to answer the call in your life. And I'm not just talking business, right? I'm talking whatever that call is on your life. And I would love to connect with you. So connect with me on YouTube. So listen, go to the YouTube video. You'll be able to see the podcast. Go to the YouTube video. Go to the YouTube channel, Courage Molina. First things first, hit that subscribe button. Two, leave a comment for me. I think it's in the comments. Leave a response. I don't know what it is. You see, I'm new to this YouTube thing. I'm really trying, y'all. I'm trying. I know. Y'all pray for me, and y'all can send me some tips if you got some, okay? But what I want you to do is I want you to go to YouTube. I want you to subscribe to my channel, and I want you to tell me one thing that the pandemic has done, like how it has changed you in a positive way. There are some things that are unavoidable. There are some storms that are unavoidable. I know people have lost their lives, have lost their loved ones, and not just from COVID, just during the pandemic, which has impacted even how we can grieve and mourn and lay somebody to rest. I get it. I understand that. Personally experienced it, okay? So I get it. But if you have to go through a storm, if the storm and the pain is unavoidable, don't you want to be better for having to have gone through it? I do. And so I want you to think about how the pandemic has changed you. Now I want you to share with me just one way the pandemic has changed your mindset, your schedule, what you do now, what you want to do in the future, how you respond, just anything, one thing, all right? That is it for this episode. I hope y'all have loved it as much as I have. You can see this podcast on YouTube. Like, I'm actually going to put the video up. Listen, I don't know what's going on with the ball, but I'm all about being comfortable. So I'm actually recording on my bed, on my bed. I did put, like, a little face because I had an interview on today. So I knew she was going to see my face. So I was like, let me not scare the lady. Now I got a cute face, a cute face. All right, I love y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go ahead and make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're listening to this on iTunes, go ahead and rate this episode. Give me a review, 5 stars, all right? Because I love to hear from y'all. Okay, until next time, this is your girl, Courage Molina, the Chief Courage Crusader, confidence coach, and what else? You know I'm your favorite Bible teacher. I love y'all. Later.